Ny episode av Det alle snakker om med Siri og Kim.
Der var Trine til Nusa. Han fikk være heldig ansiktet utad på min agurken.
Vanskelig ikke ramle ned I kofferten nå, eller? Og jeg blir nysgjerrig på, det noen som har fått slangeagurken? Bare for sånn at Braut får slangeagurk og så får Nusa babyagurk?
Ja, det Braut hadde fått gresskar.
Hør Det alle snakker om. Gratis der du hører podcast. They're waking up with the sunrise glow, bulletproof
coffee, they're ready to go. Velkommen til Biohacking Girls podcast, der vitenskap møter livsstil, og der vi tar kontroll over vår egen helse.
Vi dykker ned I teknologi, ernæring, trening og mentale hacks for å styrke kropp og sinn. Det handler om å bruke naturens prinsipper for å finne balanse, energi og glede.
Vi tester, utforsker og lever som vi lærer alt for å inspirere deg til å finne din vei til et balansert og godt liv.
For det alle kan få dette til, og sammen kan vi gjøre kunnskap til praksis og skape varig forandring. Du klar for å ta steget inn I fremtiden? La oss hacke livet sammen.
There are certain people who shift the energy in the room instantly. And Dr. Melissa Sonners is one of them. She brings something we talk a lot about in this podcast together, and that is the intersection between biology, the nervous system regulation, and our inner alignment. Because what if healing isn't about doing so much more, but about learning how to come back to yourself? Melissa Sonners, welcome back to Biohacking Girls podcast.
Biohacking Girls, taking the lead, the future is bright and the plant in the seed.
Oh my God, that intro was so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words about feeling my energy in a room. And thank you for that way of describing what this is. This is a return to yourself. Yeah, I'm very excited for this conversation with you ladies. I love being with you.
Yeah, it's so nice to see you. And I know that you just came back from a congress. How was it?
It was amazing. It was a mastermind of entrepreneurs, and there was probably about 20 of us. And there were just these really beautiful workshops we did. I'm so grateful for being there. You know, I think we'll talk about the micro, the small opportunities to reset ourselves in our day-to-day, right? That's what I love to talk about. How do we actually fit self-care into our busy lives? And there is a time and a place for the big experiences, the weekend getaways, or, you know, even the one-hour yoga classes. And this was a macro. And I almost didn't go because of where I am in book launch season. And I am so glad I did. It's, you know, these are just reminders to not get so caught up in everything going on around us and focus on who we be and what is it that we need to be our best selves. And I love connection with humans. And so this felt like a big love bubble. And you know, when we take time to do things for ourselves, whether it's a few minutes or an hour or a night away or, you know, congresses and coming to events like the one that you guys put on, there is something that shifts. And that creates a ripple in every person that we come in contact with. Mm-hmm. And this is such an important message for everyone, and particularly women and particularly moms. Because we constantly are showing up for everybody else. And this is so cliche, you know, you can't serve from an empty vessel, but it's true. The way that I am today, after, you know, not sleeping much and getting home late on a flight and, you know, all the things, I'm a better mom and wife and podcast guest. Because I took that time to do what fills me up and to connect with people in real time and have the kinds of conversations that we all deserve to have, you know, not what's the weather and what do you do, but like, why do you not feel enough if that shows up for you? And why is that? And how does that serve you? And, you know, where are you staying stuck? Just beautiful, beautiful the things that make us feel weird, but actually make us human and actually create connection in a world that can feel very isolating and lonely. So it was a good weekend or day, whatever it was.
And it kind of not closes, maybe it opens new doors, but you have spent years thinking about connection, about women, about integration. So what could you say about women today and how can we bring this message, so important message to people that we really can integrate how to connect deeper?
Yeah, well, we can talk about some of those tools, right? Self-care needs a rebrand. And we as women, especially, you know, when we don't feel great, when we feel overwhelmed or anxious or overstimulated, we often are looking to things on the outside of us to help us feel better, right? Or we're looking to control our environment to help us feel better. And I think that, like, quote unquote, works sometimes. But what actually does work is controlling our inner environment. And what's incredible with the science that I've looked at for the last decade is that the way to actually do that the most effectively is through micro moments. It's through frequent touch points of connection with ourselves. It's through downshifting our nervous system in the 2-minute pockets that we actually have access to. And for a lot of us, you know, I think we're grasping at straws to help figure out what's wrong with me. Why can't I handle this? Why am I a bad mom? Am I, you know, distracted when my son is telling me a beautiful story about his day? Like, it's not a personality flaw. It's a physiological state. And all we need to do is address that state, and it's simple and it's easy, and everything around us then changes. And so one of my favorite things to provide women with is the blueprint for having the ability to adjust our nervous system in real time. And just going back to the question that you asked, Monica, so what these tools that we'll talk about do, and this is what's in the book as well, but we'll definitely address them here. They don't just allow you to get back into your body or into a state of calm and presence in any moment. But what they also do is they create space for integration. So you asked, how do we as women integrate? We are living in the age of information and knowledge, right? We can at any time look up anything. I can't sleep. What hormones are out of whack? What treatment do I need? Am I not eating enough protein? Do I need more lymph drainage, right? We can get that information and knowledge. What we are lacking in today's time is space to actually integrate it, space to decipher the information and make it our own, space to ask ourselves, what is it that we need? Instead of looking outside of us and trying to figure out, is it my hormones? Is it my sleep? It becomes really overwhelming. And so the tools that we can talk about today, you know, I like to look at everything from the lens of brain waves. This is our roadmap to how we shift gears at any time to match the task at hand. And one of the gears we'll talk about is theta, and theta is space. Theta is where we daydream and where we get clarity. And that is where we integrate information. And so instead of feeling like we're living our lives drinking from a fire hose or having 100 tabs open, we can actually start to create a filing system for the information that we're taking in, for what we're learning, for what's resonating with us, and apply it into our own lives.
That's beautiful. But how did this all start from your own path? And how did you come up with these tools and ideas, Melissa? We know, because you have guested us before, you talked about your own personal story and your life, but you have actually written a book about it now. It's called The Connection Code. And I'm waiting for my copy. I've just read the paper like on PDF.
Yes.
So how did it all lead you to this book now?
Yeah. Honest answer, when I created space to hear my own voice, this information came through me. And I know that sounds a little bit woo-woo, but we all have that ability, right? We all are here for a calling There's actually another really good book I'm going to recommend. It's called Big Ideas by Elizabeth Gilbert. And in this book, she talks about how there's ideas and energy around us all the time. And an idea will float around to people until someone decides to become the messenger of that idea. And when I read this book, what I kind of heard and took away is that how could we receive ideas when we're just so bombarded with information and not creating space for quiet, not creating space to hear the message or, you know, our intuition or our voice or our ideas. And so, you know my story of burnout and overwhelm. And I essentially, you know, about 10 years ago, I was doing everything right and working a lot and working out and chasing the self-care appointments to help me feel better, but struggling to fit them in. And so feeling like a failure for not doing it. I had complete nervous system shutdown. So what it translated into for me was meningitis and encephalitis. I got a tick bite and mold toxicity. And so I couldn't find my way to work. I struggled to remember our children's names. I couldn't handle their voices. I completely fried my nervous system. And the tick bite and the mold were just the straw that broke the camel's back, right? If it wasn't that, it would have been something else. And so I know you guys know this story, but for anyone listening that maybe doesn't, you know, thankfully, because we have access to a lot of great tools, the hyperbaric chamber and the sauna and, you know, fasting and all these things, I got better really quickly. But I realized I was just putting myself back in a situation for it to happen again in another form. And so I needed to ask different questions to get different answers. And so the questions I started to ask was, how can I take care of myself in the small moments that I actually have during the day? When I get to the end of my day and I'm making dinner and taking care of kids and I hear that little voice, I need a break. Like I just need a minute, that I actually have a solution that works in that moment. Instead of, well, let me just push through until the weekend and then I can get a massage, you know, or whatever. And so those were the questions that I started to ask. And what I found is the science is really, really strong. And, you know, our nervous system responds really well to frequency and consistency. And so what I learned is that micro moments, 2 minute regulation activities or tools, the things that I love to teach, are what actually works. And the way that this works is through something called the brain waves, which I think a lot of people are familiar with. And there's 5 main ones, and we can get into this if you guys want. But essentially, you know, what I wanted to do for this book is take this science and create like a story. Because really, the tools that I teach are something that we all have, and it's just more remembering how to access them. It's remembering how to follow what feels good, because our nervous system wants it wants calm and connection, you know. And so many times, what we're drawn to and what feels good, like maybe, oh God, I want to hear this fun song, or I just want to like dance, or I just want to like move. I'm so rigid. There's so much I'm doing right now, like that is true self care. And so this book was a culmination of taking the science and the research and putting it into a story form to remind women, like, you have it. It's already there. We've just got to quiet the outside noise and the voices, sometimes our own, sometimes other people's, that pull us away from this connection with ourselves. This is our default. This is our default. We've just forgotten how to access it.
And of course, we learn from others' journeys. And if we go back a little bit, when you had the mold and all these inflammation, the physiological tendencies that needed to be approached too, because if you have something going on, you would need to approach that too. How did you fix that? You said chambers, oxygen chambers and saunas, but how did you get well from a mold disease, which many people have these days?
Yes. So, well, Jason, my husband, as you know, is a functional medicine practitioner. So we did test, not guess. So we did a lot of testing, so we knew exactly what was going on, so we knew how to treat it. Hyperbarics was my main treatment protocol for mold. It's the first place I go if I have mold exposure at any time. We did some specific supplements for some of the co-infections for Lyme disease. Did a lot of fasting, a lot of detox. You know, I've cleared out some of the mercury in my mouth. I did heavy metal detoxes. You know, there was like the acute hit it hard, right? Was a lot of hyperbarics along with supplements. And then the long term was like the metal removers, parasite cleanses. But ultimately, it's the nervous system regulation because that controls everything. And so that is what I've realized in this whole process is if the power running the home isn't working, then nothing in your home will work. You'll go to turn the light on and wonder why it won't turn on. And you can try to fix the light switch or you can try to replace the light bulb, but it's the power. Our nervous system is the master controller of literally everything in our body. And so when we can, you know, do the things to help us get to a place where we can actually start to figure out what's going on, right? Using the amazing biohacking tools that, thank God, are readily available for a lot of people today. But ultimately, keep getting to the root cause.
Because what's actually happening in the brain and the nervous system when we're constantly in the doing mode?
Yeah.
And okay. how do we you know, get out of this?
Yes, perfect. Okay. So the way that many of us live today has us in a constant state of survival and fight or flight, which is beta. It's the brainwave beta. And I want to explain the brainwaves for a minute because this will make this information more tangible. So at any time, in any point of our day or our lives, we are in one of our brainwave gears. They're like gears in a car. Let's talk about four main ones. So theta is gear one, and that is like at rest, right? So we wake up in gear one theta. Next is alpha, and then gear three. So alpha would be gear two, beta is gear three, and then delta is like deep sleep. And gamma is hits of insight that we get when we live more in alignment. But when we can understand brainwave gears, you can start to see that in any moment, we can assess what gear am I in and does it match how I want to feel? And if not, let me switch into a different gear. And so we are living in beta. When we are in do mode, go mode, we are essentially pushing the gas in our car and wondering why we can't relax. We're going at hyperspeed. And we are intended to spend time in beta. Right? We have jobs, we have things we need to do, but beta is meant for like 9 to 5 with some breaks in between, like the 9 to 5 workday, right? But anytime we are looking at our screens, if we're looking at our phones, if we're under traditional lighting, like is in our homes, our offices, we are in beta. And when you spend too much time in beta, you will feel anxious, overwhelmed. You will think you have high cortisol. But it's just we're in the wrong gear. And so our nervous system isn't failing. It's doing what it's being asked to do. But it can't run at that pace all day, every day. It's going to fry out. And so for some people, that might feel like anxiety or overstimulation. For other people, it's going to flip into like where you sit on your couch and you doom scroll because you're fried, right? There's no more left in the tank. And so what we've got to learn how to do, and it's actually very simple, is downshift, right? If I'm feeling overwhelmed, anxious, in fight or flight or survival, it's not what's wrong with me. How do I need to fix this? It's how can I downshift into alpha and get into present time? How can I get back into my heart and out of my head so that I can actually make clear decisions?
I get it. And it seems so easy, but it's kind of complicated still because you have to pay attention to all these small habits or bad habits we do every day, like grabbing the phone.
Well, yeah. You know, I think I don't like to make this an either or. It's a both and. And what I mean by that is it's not like screens are horrible. And if we're on our screens, we're stuck in survival and fight or flight. And so, okay, what am I supposed to do with that? Because my job is on the screens. We can have our screens and know how to instantly downshift our nervous system to help mitigate it. So what does this look like in real life? This would look like, okay, I wake up, I go right on my phone, I check my emails, I check my Slacks, you know, whatever it is, I send some text messages, and then I go on to my Zooms for the day, you know, da-da-da-da-da, like the traditional life. Versus, I wake up, I don't use the alarm on my phone, or if I do, I have a red light filter on, right? This would be like the switch, so that when I look at my phone, I'm not thrown instantly into beta by the light on the phone. So I'm staying in theta and alpha. And then maybe I go for a 2 or 5 minute walk outside if it's nice out, or maybe I go and just sit on my couch and like drink my tea for a couple minutes or my coffee for a couple minutes, and then I go into my day. This doesn't mean we need to like go live in the forest and not do the things that we need to do in order to have our jobs and function. It's just a matter of like, you wouldn't go in your car and go into third gear. No. You would go in your car and you'd go in gear one and then gear two and then gear three. So all we need to do in order to regulate our nervous systems, which everyone's talking about, right? There's some great tools that can help us do it passively, thank God. But we can also just intentionally spend time in gear one and two by monitoring our indoor lighting that we're exposed to, right? So like red lights, amber lights, circadian friendly lights, taking a moment to sit and just listen. Like, what is it that's coming up in my day that maybe feels intense? Or how can I show up best for this day? What do I need today? What do I want today? Just a mini moment of a conversation and connection with yourself. And then going into it, right? So it's just a warm up before we ask our nervous system to come at our day full throttle. And it's being intentional and aware about giving it little breaks throughout the day, right? So, you know, I know you guys work a lot virtually as well. So for someone who's working on a computer all day, this can look like, you know, maybe there's a 2 or 5 minute pocket in between meetings, Zoom calls, podcast interviews. And so often what we are inclined to do is like quick grab our phone. Let me quick catch up. I've only got 2 minutes. I can't really do anything for myself. So I'm going to catch up so that I can relax tonight. There is so much that can actually be done in that 2 minute pocket to regulate our nervous system so that when we get to the end of the day and we have time and space to relax, our nervous system knows how to access it. And so in these 2 minute, you know, opportunities in our day, it's a matter of maybe catching yourself going on that phone and like actually taking a brain break, going outside, doing something called expanded gaze, which we can talk through. Like there's little things that can actually influence your nervous system in the moment. Our eyes are the remote control to our nervous system. And so we can use our eyes to look at certain things in a certain way and go out of fight or flight and into parasympathetics. And so those are a lot of the tools that I use in my moments between meetings, or, you know, the women that I work with. These are the homework activities that they have. It's, you know, shutting the screen and looking up and out, because what does that do? That moves us from near vision to expanded vision. And to our nervous system, that takes us out of a state of fight or flight and puts us into parasympathetics. That tells our amygdala, our inner security guard, I'm safe here. You can relax. It turns down the sympathetics and it turns up healing and restoration and repair. It closes some of those tabs that we all have when we're doing a million things in a day, right? It gets us into present time connection. It allows space for ideas and clarity. God, I have back-to-back meetings. I'm just flooded. I don't know what to do. Like, there's this situation. We can create that space in those 2 minutes and get the clarity and the answer. Or we can actually give ourselves enough of a break that when we go into that next meeting, we're fresh. Right? It doesn't have to be an hour for us to change how we feel, which is the way that I used to look at stuff. If I didn't have an hour to get in my sauna, there was nothing that I could do to change the way that I felt. And that's not true. And it's both and. I have a sauna, I have a chamber, I have a grounding mat, I have a red light. I love all of these tools. And when I don't have time to access them, I have tools on the inside that I can use in any moment to help replicate even a mini version of what those tools can do for my physiology. We all can.
But Melissa, if this is new to some people, how do we get started? Because it sounds like this is something we have to do throughout the day to really get the hang of it. So where do we start? In the morning?
Yes, yes. Great question. So start in the morning.
Yeah.
By staying off the screens for, I would say, at least 5 minutes. Give yourself 5 minutes in theta, 5 minutes in alpha, and I can talk about what that looks like. So to go into or stay in our theta brainwaves, all we need to do is not turn on bright lights, and we need to listen to ourselves. Okay, so this isn't when you turn on a podcast, which we love podcasts, right? But this isn't when you turn on someone else's voice. This is when you listen to your own. It's all you need to do. So the action step for theta is be aware of your lighting, make it red, circadian friendly, orange, stay off your phone, and listen to yourself. 5 minutes. Next, alpha, the action step is connect. This is where you might incorporate some light body movements. Getting some natural sunlight is great if you can, you know, depending on where you live and what time you're up. But, you know, starting to expose yourself to some natural light is really good in alpha. Looking at a flame, a candle, is great for alpha. If you have a busy brain that wants to get going for the day, looking at a flame will activate mirror neurons in your brain, and it will downshift. It will regulate your nervous system in real time. So a few minutes of staring at a flame. Doodling. I like to call this meditation in motion, like doing something to keep your fingers active. Knitting, doing a puzzle. Journaling is really good in alpha. I do, for my journaling, I do something I call a call and response. So like taking what we just heard in our theta window might be things like, God, I'm really overwhelmed about today. How am I going to fit it all in? Why are all these people in my house? Taking that voice and then giving it a place. Why do I feel overwhelmed today, right? Like asking myself those questions and then letting myself answer them. That is how we connect, right? That is how we get in our heart before our head for the day. This is how we start to figure out what is it that I need before serving everybody else. Just taking that moment. So that would be like the morning routine, and then hit it. Whatever you got to do, hit it. 5 minutes in theta, 5 minutes in alpha, do your day. And then we want to reverse engineer it at the end of the day. Yes.
But then during the day, can I do this in the car?
You absolutely can do this in the car.
Okay.
So first, just let me say, at the end of the day, you just want to downshift back, right? So you'll go from gear three beta, you're going to go into alpha, and then down into theta. This is all in the book. We can link a couple resources here too as well for people who want to take this further. But yes, during the day, 100%. So our brain functions on something called an ultradian rhythm, or like our physiology does. And so every 90 minutes, we need and crave a break. And so this is often where we're reaching for caffeine or a snack, or, you know, maybe those, our body's telling us through signals, these are features, not flaws, like this is too much, I need a break. But this is usually where, you know, we'll think, okay, I need to just double down and push through so I can finish this task, when all we need is to create a little alpha or theta break. And yes, we can do these in the day. So, and we can do them in the car. One of my favorite ways to get into alpha is in the car, because I use it on the way to pick up my kids after school. Listening to music, your favorite song will get you into alpha. That's my main tool when I'm switching from work mode into mama mode. I've got about a 5 minute commute to their school and I'm jamming out. I'm not making phone calls. I'm not, hopefully not, trying to wrap emails at red lights, right? I could feel very pulled to that. But the question I'm constantly asking myself is, what state do I want to be in? And will this get me in that? When I go get my kids, I want to be in alpha. And so it becomes almost like a decision-making matrix, because you start to get clarity on, you know, why am I snapping at my kids? Or why can't I handle it when they get in the car and they're hungry and they're tired and they're mad? And, you know, like they're little humans. They've been holding it together all day. What I can do is I can be in my heart so that I have the capacity to handle their emotions. Mm-hmm. And so during the day, you know, what I tell women to do is 2, 3, 4. These are your regulation reps. So you're going to do 2 minutes for three times a day for you. And I have a checklist that I made. We can drop the checklist perhaps in the show notes. And I think on that checklist, I've got 3 or 4 different ways to incorporate your regulation reps. So one is, you know, going for a walk and expanding your gaze, or even doing that in your home. It's 2 minutes of looking up and out at least 10 feet beyond where you're sitting. And activating eye movements, scanning the room, because eye movements, remember, will calm your nervous system. So expanded gaze is one. Listening to your favorite song is one. Connecting with a loved one is one, like being present in real time is one. And so, you know, in the midst of our busy days, in these 2 minute pockets, instead of grabbing our phones for a brain break, which it's not, it keeps us in gear 3. That's why you never feel better after. Do one of these activities on the checklist that take 2 minutes and get you into alpha. And then you go back into your tasks at hand and your brain has had a break. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to stay, you know, high functioning. You're going to stay in a flow state. Research shows that a few minutes of time in alpha leads to peak performance throughout your entire day.
We have heard you talk about the lizard walk.
Yeah, my lizard.
I like examples. So if you could just give us something. Yeah.
It's
so cool.
I call it the lizard walk. Yeah. Because I've become the lizard lady.
Yeah.
So for my brain break during my day, when I have a 2 minute window, I walk outside. We live in Miami. I walk outside around the corner and there's a golf course and there's often a lot of iguanas just laying and playing in the golf course. So I walk to where they are. I scan the golf course. I'm using these lateral eye movements, which tell my nervous system I'm safe here. I can get out of fight or flight, regardless of how I'm feeling and what I'm dealing with. It's like a hack into your nervous system. And then I walk home and I get on the next Zoom.
It's so cool.
And what this looks like is, you know, in most moments, I'm not going to say every moment, I can task switch. This is the ultimate goal. You think about as women how and men, but I speak to the women and for the women, how often are we task switching? What I mean by that, how often are you, you know, checking emails and doing Zooms and kind of like these high level, maybe CEO tasks or virtual tasks. And then you're asked to switch channels and be in your heart. The school calls, your kid is sick. Or someone's asking about carpool, or you're trying to figure out the soccer schedule for the weekend, right? We are constantly flipping this switch. And so we've got to teach our nervous system how to do that, how to go into fight or flight and how to come back down. That is what we're doing here. We are doing regulation reps through our 2, 3, 4, and we are training our nervous system to be able to flip that switch in any moment. Because this is the way it's designed to be. We as mammals are designed to go into fight or flight, assess what's going on. Do I need to fight? Do I need to flee? Do I need to freeze in order to survive? And then we're designed to drop back into alpha. But we don't, for the most part, anymore, because we've trained our nervous system to not do that. And the way that we've trained it to not do that is the lives that we're leading, going from task to task to task, focused, narrow, looking at screens in front of us. And so all we've got to do is intentionally train it. It's like we're going to the gym and flexing our biceps. That's what those regulation reps on that checklist do.
Eier du din egen bedrift? Da betalingsløsningen fra SumUp det du har drømt om. Hold styr på alt fra ordrer, betalinger og kvitteringer, til refusjoner, salgstall og produktkataloger. SumUp gir deg kontroll på alt på ett og samme sted. Kjøp SumUp og selvkjøp.
Nå skal det nytes, og vi I Kiwi har reker og alt det gode tilbehøret til deilige sommerdager. Nå får du 5 kilos kartong med frosne reker, størrelse 70-90 til 4,99. Frosne reker I løsvekt, størrelse 70-90 til 109 per kilo. Eller prøv en 450 grams laksefilet med skinn av midtstykket fra Lerøy til 129. Og du, vi har like lave priser på reker I hele sommer. For vi I Kiwi gir oss aldri på pris.
So this is also about stress regulation, de-stress, eustress, and you mentioned cortisol and hormones earlier. So I wonder if what are your thoughts about regulating hormones by fixing the nervous system, or do we fix the nervous system by targeting the hormones?
Yeah, both. So our nervous system controls everything. So when you look at the hormonal hierarchy, so when we look at what impacts estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and you go to the top of that chain, it's oxytocin. And oxytocin is a feel-good hormone. And we can't get to oxytocin if we're not feeling safe. We can't receive a flood of love when we're in fight or flight. Think about it, right? Think about if you're in fight or flight and you go to the grocery store, for instance, and you're just like dead focused on your list. Are you going to notice the person in front of you smiling at you, right? We miss these moments. And so addressing, I wouldn't say fixing the nervous system, because the nervous system isn't broken. It's reacting to the environment. It's a feature, not a flaw, the way that our nervous systems feel. But we can address the nervous system and go into alpha, which creates oxytocin and helps balance our hormones. But it also works the other way, right? Because if our hormones are completely out of kilter, our nervous system isn't going to feel good. And it's like, I don't know, we're spinning. We don't even know where to start. So there's inside out and there's outside in. I think both absolutely have a place. You know, I just had this travel, right? I had traveled this week, and where I am in my cycle, it, combined with traveling without my family, like anxiety was heightened when I was at the airport. It was really interesting because anxiety isn't a feeling that I normally feel. Stress is one, high cortisol is one, but anxiety has just not usually been something that I experience. And I experienced it big time. And I will tell you, there is a time and a place for a crutch or a supplement or, you know, something that gets you back into homeostasis quickly. And so it's both and.
How would you know when your cortisol levels are high, and how would people in general know?
Well, you can test, right? We can always test. Dutch tests are incredible for a good cortisol read. I love that. I've done one of those maybe a couple months ago. A lot of women actually have very low cortisol because we've burned it out. My cortisol, when I tested it, was tanked. But still functioning as if it feels high, you know? And for some women, when the cortisol is tanked, you can feel tanked, right? You can't get off the couch, but it can also present the other way, which is really interesting. You know, I would just always say addressing the nervous system first, even if you have a cortisol issue, is going to make whatever you're doing for that cortisol issue work better, and or you're going to need less of it. Because again, it's root cause, right? Okay. It's if we go back to the house analogy and the power in the house, when we're treatment targeting certain systems in our body, right? Like the light switch isn't turning on the light bulb. And so we're trying to fix the switch and we're replacing the bulb. Those have an impact on our physiology. But what if there's a circuit breaker was switched off? And all we need to do is turn that back on, and there wasn't an issue with the switch or the bulb, right? That's all I'm saying. So,
yeah,
you know, the foundation. Yeah. When I got sick, I needed to address the light bulb and the switch. Everything, the whole system was knocked out, and so you know, doing all of it to help feel better fast was really important. But ultimately, it's addressing the circuit breaker and the power that has maintained health as a busy woman. In a way that I have access to in any moment, in a way that the other stuff wasn't able to address for me.
So just to keep the audience with us here and with your thoughts, Melissa, it's so nice to listen to you. If we should sum up the brain waves, and if you could do one of these each and give us an example, like waking up in the morning, feeling yourself, if you could do just repeat the brainwaves and one example on each one.
Yes. Okay. So theta. Theta is our intuition, our clarity. A lot of people, I don't know if you guys say this there, or if you've ever heard anyone say, I get my best ideas in the shower.
Yes.
That's theta. Okay. And so there's a famous inventor, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison actually used to sleep with metal balls in his hands. And so that when he fell asleep, he would instantly like be woken up by dropping the balls, because he knew right after sleep, you access theta. So theta is clarity, it's intuition, it's problem solving, it's you, it's your voice. And so theta is magical. We get so much more done when we spend some time there. And the way you spend time there is not having bright lights on and not going on your screen. Theta will feel like space. Theta will feel like expansion. Theta feels the opposite that a lot of us feel most of the day, like we're drinking from a fire hose. Okay. Does that answer the question for theta for gear one?
Yeah.
Okay. Then alpha comes next naturally. And alpha is connection, right? So like journaling is a really good thing to do, but like asking yourself questions and knowing journaling doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to be the 300 things I'm grateful for. And it doesn't have to be pretty or beautiful. It can be messy. It can be shadow. It can be dark. You can rip it up and throw it away, or you can burn it. And actually burning it would be really cool, because then you're looking at a flame, which activates the mirror neurons in our brain, which puts us into alpha. Hmm. Alpha feels like post-workout bliss. That is alpha. So when we're in alpha, it's focused energy. You feel clear, but it's grounded. You know how you feel after a workout? It's like, okay, now I can come in the house and I can handle the emails and my kids, and I can move from thing to thing really smoothly. That's what alpha feels like. It's peak performance and it's a flow state. And so alpha is off screens and basically like doing whatever your heart desires and whatever feels good. Music is alpha. Car is an alpha bubble. Right? You can play your music. You can talk to yourself. You can have nothing, you know, going on. I feel like my car is my alpha alchemizer. Walking gets you an alpha. Walking is so good, right? Oh my God. Walking helps integrate both sides of our brain, which just shuts down the busy rumination and gets us back in our heart. Really, alpha is our heart. We live in our heads. The most powerful organ we have is our heart.
Oh.
And then beta, yeah. I don't mean to make a bad rap for beta, because beta is essentially like the marathon runner that we need in our lives, because we are running a marathon. But every marathon runner needs water breaks. And so when we can give beta her water breaks, which is the lizard walk, which is, you know, putting on a fun song, which is going out in nature and walking, our marathoner is going to peak perform. And so one of the things I encourage people to do in their beta time, in their focused work time, is put your phone on do not disturb. Hmm. Because you are in your peak state to get stuff done. And your brain is functioning on all cylinders and kind of going at rapid speed. And that works really well when you're focused at the task at hand. But when we start multitasking in beta, that's when things can feel really messy. That's when we start to feel anxious. That's when we start to feel overwhelmed, right? And so beta is your biggest work chunk of the day, your hardest task. So use it to your advantage and don't try to do too many things at once. Hmm. Right? And beta doesn't require a lot of influence, because we live in beta. So you're pretty much in it most of the time. And then at the end of the day, you want me to do a real quick end of the day?
Yes.
Okay. So then downshifting at the end of the day can look like for moms maybe going to pick up their kids, you're going to downshift into alpha when you're in your car, as long as you're not multitasking and answering the emails or catching up on the audios, you know, or I think podcasts can be good here if it's, you know, something that's feeling really good and not giving you more things to do, right? Like your guys' podcast would be amazing alpha time in your car. As is listening to a fun song, going for a walk, right? Like an evening stroll is really good. And then theta is is just creating space to listen before you go to bed, right? So what this looks like as far as like boundary setting, we don't need an hour wind down evening ritual. We don't have to have an hour, but it's boundaries, right? It's maybe hearing your voice say, oh, I should just answer that one last text message or that email. You know, I should send a message to Monica, right? For tomorrow. Like these things happen, they come up. So just being very aware, do I have to do this right now or can it wait till tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Because the most important thing for us to do at the end of the day is to create space for alpha, connection, walking, relaxation, essentially getting off screens, and theta, hearing our own voice, clearing out some of those tabs. Because if we don't do that, if we don't shift from gear 3 into 2 into 1, we can't access gear 0, which is delta. And you guys know how important sleep is. A great day is based on a great night. You cannot go from 3 to 0. You cannot go from flying in your car in the highway to a dead stop. And so why are we surprised when we go to lay our head down on the pillow at night and our head is telling us all the things we did wrong, playing out worst case scenarios or the 3 a.m. wake up call? Maybe it is hormones, but maybe it is that we were driving 80 miles per hour on the highway and then hit the brakes and we wonder why that didn't work. Mm-hmm. So it's just this downshift.
Mm-hmm. What would be your favorite theta doings, beings in the bed before you go to bed? What would you recommend us to do? I mean, I'm not, we don't have to be intimate.
Yeah, so it's actually for me, it doesn't even happen in my bed. It's really, it's just what I'm not doing. It's okay. What I'm not doing is I'm not going on emails and I don't have bright lights on in my home. And so again, our natural rhythm is to downshift. But the things that interfere with that are lights and screens. And so we can either talk about what we need to do, or we can just clear out what doesn't work for physiology, and then we don't need to do anything. So you've been in our house at night, Monica, when all the lights turn to red.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's so nice.
Yeah. When the sun goes down in our home, I turn on lamps with red light bulbs in them. And so our nervous system will naturally, and Beta's tired. She's been working all day. She ran a marathon. She's ready to toss off to Alpha. And as long as the lights aren't on, that's going to happen. I'm cuddling with our kids. We're on the couches. Maybe I'm reading a book. Maybe we're watching a movie together, you know? And so I've got some blue light blockers on so that the light from the screen isn't blasting me. So again, this isn't about like no screens, no blah, 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 but it's nurturing. Like what feels the most nurturing right now and not working? I'm not working during this time. I'm not going on emails or Slacks or things like that. Boundaries. It can be a bathtub. It can be lighting a candle. It can be a red light, rainy shower. You know, it can be all those things, but it also doesn't have to.
So if I hear you correct, getting back to nature, circadian biology, lighting is really important in during the day and morning and night, of course, but that's going to help us with these 2 minutes break.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But I always sleep better. I go into delta so much easier when I have a book with me, reading a book, whatever kind of book I read. So that's my passage into it. But I think I need 20, 30 minutes. I really like the me time and the silence around it.
Reading a book is really, really good. And I actually have, they have them on Amazon. They're book lights that are circadian friendly.
I have those. Yeah, we have those. Yeah.
Those are always in my travel bag. Those are like non-negotiable in a hotel room. That's what I use so that I'm not blasted with lights at night. But yeah, reading is really, really good. So you actually remember the eyes are the window into the nervous system. So when your eyes scan across a page and then back quickly again, you are taking your nervous system instantly out of fight or flight. So reading is one of the best things to do before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though you're reading medicine or if you do some sci-fi or crime, it doesn't matter if you get a bit like...
I would follow what feels good. If it feels good to you to read those things, then let those be the things that you read, right? Yeah. Let's keep this super simple. Like we are intuitive beings as women. We know what feels good to our nervous system. Follow that. Mm. For me, in the morning, I usually read more of, you know, the educational kinds of things. And then at night, I'm reading more of the spiritual mind expansion kinds of things.
But as a doctor and with all the research to your book now, Melissa, can you see and share with us if you've seen how the brain waves patterns have changed the last decades?
Yeah, most people are spending far too much time in beta. That's the way that the patterns have changed. And again, it's not because there's something wrong with us. It's, you know, you brought up eustress and distress. It's eustress. It's healthy stress that we're responding to. It's jobs, careers, families, tasks, driving people in carpools. This is healthy stress. It means we have families and jobs. But what's happening today is that we don't have the breaks naturally woven in. We don't have the village support that everybody talks about that we need, right? So whereas before, when we lived in communities, maybe you're doing the work and I'm cooking, they're both work. You're focused on one task, which today would be emails, which back then would be obviously very different. And I'm with the children and I'm cooking for us. And so when you got done with your task, you then had space. We don't have that today. And so until we figure out a change in our environment or a change in the way that we're doing things, we've got to be able to change the way that it feels in the inside. And we've got to be able to hack our nervous system and teach it safety. That's what this is. This is a hack for the nervous system. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not overwhelmed and overstimulated in today's world, I'm almost a little bit worried. Because at least here, I mean, definitely in Miami, the environment is very overstimulating. Mm-hmm. And so our nervous system's job is to react to the room. So that's what it's doing. Mm-hmm. And then we're thinking that there's something wrong with us. There's something right with us when that happens.
It's actually healthy.
It's extremely healthy.
Yeah.
Extremely healthy. Mm. But it doesn't feel good.
It's true. It's kind of tiring too.
Yeah. And I would even say it's healthy. It's more that it's
navigator.
It's physiology. It's what's supposed to happen. It's a healthy response to the environment that we're in. Mm. But it doesn't feel good. And it's not normal because this isn't the environment that we were supposed to live in. We're supposed to go into fight or flight and then regulate. And we don't. Yet.
Eier du din egen bedrift? Da betalingsløsningen fra SumUp det du har drømt om. Hold styr på alt fra ordrer, betalinger og kvitteringer til refusjoner, salgstall og produktkataloger. SumUp gir deg kontroll på alt på ett og samme sted. Kjøp SumUp og selvkjøp.
Har lufta gått litt ut av deg?
Prøv Stratos da vel! Den luftige melkesjokoladen som bobler av glede.
We have to go back to your book a little bit because, I mean, you brought three beautiful kids to the world and we know them. They're such adorable kids. And now you got your fourth baby with a book because that's how we see it. It's such a journey. Let's see the book. Yeah. How does it feel? I mean, now it's been a while since you have finished the book and it went to sales and everything. But how? Just tell us the feelings you got when you received the book to see your words on print.
Well, so very interesting. I mean, you guys know this as authors. It's very exciting when you get to open your box of books. I mean, you literally wait. This was a year and a half process for me with the publisher I worked with. It was very long. And so the box came and I set up the camera just for me, you know, for a memory. And you guys, I don't know if you know this. I opened the box and it was the wrong book.
Yeah, well, we saw it. Yes, I saw it on Instagram.
Are you serious?
It was a box full of a children's book by Eric Carle.
Oh my God.
Do you guys know Eric Carle?
No.
Okay. He wrote a book that almost every child reads here called The Hungry Caterpillar. And so I opened up a box of Eric Carle's newish book, The Busy Spider, The Very Busy Spider. And thank God I was an alpha. Okay. So here's a really cool example of nervous system. I was actually in beta. When I opened it in beta, I went full on victim mode. Oh my God, why did this happen to me? why are people messing up my hard work, right? It's very easy. It's a stress response. I've been waiting a year and a half for this box. So I was like, I can't fix this situation. I'm going to downshift and look at it through new eyes. I went for a walk. I did a lizard walk. I came back and I looked at this box of books and I'm like, there are 24 spiders staring me in the face. What is the message of the spider? And so I sat and I geeked out with it. And you guys, this is crazy because this book, The Very Busy Spider, it's about a spider who is spinning her web, making her creation. And all these animals come up one at a time. And they're like, come do this thing, come do this thing, come do this thing. Beta, distraction, multitasking. And the spider keeps her head down and she stays in flow, in alpha. And she builds her web. And at the end, she sits back and the fly comes to her. This is the connection code. We are living in a world that the busy spider exemplifies in this book. There's constant things pulling us away from our creation, what we're here to do. And we can't fix that. We can't influence them. We can't control them, but we can stay with our head down or head up in flow, in alpha, in our hearts. And when we do that, life comes to us and through us. And that is the code. That is the code. That is this book. And so that is the power of shifting your nervous system because it changes the way that you see the world. And that is all we got, but that is one powerful thing that we got. You think about that in every situation that you come across in your day. Hmm. We have a choice and we have a tool, and the tool is brainwaves. It changes everything. So how cool that I got that book.
And how cool that you can walk your own lesson and live the theory of your life.
100%. And, you know, this book launch, and I think just like any big moment in our lives that can be exciting and can also be really stressful, whether that be a wedding or a job change or, you know, anything, any big stress, healthy stress, but any big stressful event basically puts a microscope on our patterns and how we're living and how we show up, right? Mm-hmm. It magnifies how our nervous system sees the world. And so I've been able to zoom out because that's what I do, right? I go in alpha and I'm like, what is presenting for me? And I've realized how much I could easily go into and like create overwhelm in my life or stress in my life or busyness in my life. I'm a hard worker and I'm very proud of that. But also, if there's space for me, if there's space to do nothing, I will fill it with work. And I think a lot of us do this, right? And so this is the work that I'm here to do and teach, and I'm living it right alongside of you guys, right? This is, can I make choices to impact the way that I show up and the way that I feel and function? Can I create an awareness so that, you know, I'm catching myself in these patterns and I'm making a choice? And we all have the ability to do that. And it's not hard. It's just a choice to create awareness. Wow, look at me. I have 2 minutes of nothingness and I say I'm anxious and I want more calm and space in my life. And the second I get it, I'm grabbing my phone to see who needs me. Wow, look at that. I co-created that. And then I wonder why I feel stressed out. I created that. And maybe you still choose to pick up your phone, but you start to realize it was a choice. And so any time when you're ready, you can choose a different path, which will create a different life. We have that power and ability, and it doesn't have to take an hour, and it doesn't have to be some fancy retreat that teaches us how to. It's an awareness, and it's simply choosing a different path. And that's neuroplasticity. That's upgrading our hardwiring. That is our nervous system. It doesn't take years. It takes a moment.
It's so beautiful, Melissa. And your book, it's mostly for women, mothers, but how can we translate all this wisdom and connection to our children? Because they're going to grow up in the same world. And how can we transfer this calmness that you vibe?
And also to our husbands.
Yeah.
You know, it always goes back to self. It's when we know ourself, we can communicate to our husbands and partners what we need, which they want, right? My husband, Jason, and many men, right? They want to support us. They want us to be happy. They want us to be grounded. But if we don't even know how to access that for ourselves, how are they supposed to? And so one of the most important things I believe we can do in a relationship is get to know ourselves better and what we need and communicate that. For me, that looked like telling my husband, I need 5 minutes in the morning with nobody in my space. And I don't mean that because I don't love you. I mean that because I do. And because as women, what I think a lot of men don't understand is if there's someone in our space, we can very easily lose ourselves. What does he need? What does he want? What is he feeling? Right? Grounding ourselves in us first allows us to be present with another. We can't give to another what we can't give to ourselves. And then as far as our children, I mean, it's role modeling, right? Mm-hmm. Your actions speak so loud, I can't hear your words. So I can tell my kids, don't stress. You know, I grew up in a home where my dad always said, the most important thing to do is to strengthen your emotional muscle. And then he would freak out at a red light because it wasn't changing to green fast enough. And that's all I felt. So his words didn't mean anything to me. And my hardwiring is very similar to him. I could get wound up very easily. And so I'm not aiming for perfection as far as it goes with my children. I'm aiming for progress and practice. Right. And so I communicate that with them. Wow. I just snapped, right? I was in beta and I just freaked out at them. So the first thing I do is get myself in alpha, breathe, ask myself, what is it that I needed? Like create a pattern interrupt. And then from alpha, I can connect with them because I connected with me. Wow, Levi, I did not mean to snap. That was my stress, not yours. I need a minute. I'm going to go take it so I can come back into this room a better version of me. Right? And in doing that, it allows me space to not do it perfectly. And it also allows them permission to do the same. But then to unwind it, you know, like for them to know it's not their fault. It's nothing that they did. It's mine to own. And so oftentimes what I'll even do with them is I will unhook it physically. That was my stress. I'm going to take it back. It's not yours. Right?
Beautiful. And you have a very deep friendship with Dr. Mindy Pels, and she's been to Norway too. And of course, she's been a success writer for everybody knows her in Norway. And we are so excited to receive your book also, to be able to buy it from Norway, I mean. But she wrote the foreword. Why don't you say something about your cooperation, friendship, and of course, this path?
Yeah. Yeah, Mindy is one of my favorite people. We are both 7 on Enneagram. I don't know if you guys know Enneagram or your listeners know that Enneagram. Jason is a 7 as well. Enneagram is a personality style. It's a number 1 to 10. They're all equal. It's not like one is better than the other, but 7s need newness and fun, childlike energy, right? And so Mindy and I play together a lot, and we both have a love and a fascination and a trust in the human body. Our bodies aren't broken. We're not here to fix them. We're here to honor them and help bring our natural, innate intelligence out. You know, we're both chiropractors, and that's how we're taught to see the body. When there's something not working, it's not something wrong with you. It's a signal. And so what is your body, your nervous system asking for? So we have a lot of fun because we both love the science and we love the research. And we also love to translate it, hopefully in a way that's understandable. And, you know, more of like a story and a remembrance and a coming home to this information than a needing to digest it, remember a protocol and figure it out, right? Something outside of us. It's a remembrance that we're perfect as we are. And a lot of times it's just knowing how to read and understand what our body's trying to communicate with us. So we have a lot of fun together. Yeah. Mindy is an incredible writer. She's been such a mentor to me in this process, as have you guys. You know, I think any time in our lives when we are stepping into who we're here to be and taking big risks and being vulnerable and showing up in ways that we haven't before, we need our people. We need our village. And so for someone else, that might look like, I want to start to have more boundaries in my life, or I want to start to have conversations with my husband about what I need and what's not working. You know, having your village is really crucial, having your community. And if you want to have a village, you've got to be willing to be a villager. And so you've got to be open and vulnerable and willing to communicate, right? This is hard and this is coming up, and you're going to get people in your life that will walk you through that. the deeper, more meaningful connections and friendships. But we've got to start again with us first.
Beautiful. This has been a thrill. Not a thrill. This has been a party for us. It's really nice to talk to you, Melissa. And I think also people will recognize what you're saying and start thinking about their own journeys. And now we can reach out for the book and we will make sure to put a link because we can order it from Norway now.
Yes. Yeah, we can link that. And then do you guys want to link also that checklist that has the regulation reps? So that, again, is 2-minute ways to get into alpha or theta in any time of your life. And so just to kind of simplify everything that we just talked about here, brain waves are like gears in a car. And when you know how to shift gears in any moment, you can change the way that you feel and show up to any situation in your life. So you can essentially be present for the moments that truly matter. So that we don't look back at our lives and regret the moments that we missed or that we showed up subpar. This is the blueprint. This is the code to get back to that connection.
How beautiful.
Very beautiful. Thank you very much, Melissa.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so good to see you guys. Always love being with you.
Yeah, so maybe the goal isn't to become someone new, but to remember who we really are.
100%.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Biohacking girls, changing the game, optimizing life. They're ahead of the frame from mitochondria to mindset. Vi minner om at dere må snakke med egen lege eller kostholdsveileder om dietter og andre spørsmål relatert til medisiner og supplementer. Informasjon vi deler kan ikke bli brukt til å diagnostisere, behandle, forebygge eller kurere noen sykdommer eller tilstander.